My name is Werner. You may call me Varys. My little boy call me Papa Valleys. So, I mean, there's many options for you to choose from. Maar net nie vir my noem Dominee nie, asseblief. Can you just lower for me a little bit, please? It's awesome to have everyone here. We had an awesome day. Regis and I went to show for Pretoria. Thanks, Regis, for being my driver. He allowed me to sleep on the way back after we smashed a lot of Muchachos burgers. So that was also, the church was also good, but the burgers, I'm telling you. So we had a long day, and I'm excited to be here. Amen. We're almost at the end of shutdown. Some of you guys are looking tired. I trust that God will strengthen you. Just turn to someone next to you and say, "Oats, maak jou sterk." Oats pop, okay? Listen, last week we had a very cool time. God started to really stir our hearts, actually at intercession around a very specific topic of being sons in His house and being sons in His kingdom, and not coming to Him from the position of a slave, but as a son. And there's a vast difference in what it is to be a son of God and what to experience Him as a very harsh God that wants you to work for Him. And so last week we started to work through it, and today I'm actually going to go on with it. If you're not here last week, please just download last week's sermon and put it together with this one in a little folder. Because we're going to continue with this thing of, I guess we're still on the same playing field, we're just moving over. Tonight I want to talk about being a father. Last week we spoke about being a son. And the gist of it is that if you want to be in a place where you are fathered, where you experience there's love coming your way in God's kingdom, and you feel covered and you feel there's people looking out for you. If you want to be fathered, you need to become a son. That's what we say. It's about positioning your heart, right? Being fathered or being a spiritual father has got nothing to do with age. It's got to do with a heart. And what the example I used many times is sometimes as I come into church and I see the ladies at the back just packing out the cups for coffee, I get fathered through seeing that service, because I get reminded how Christ washed my sins away. When I see these people, which is most of them younger than me, practicing and developing a skill to lead worship, I get fathered by it. Because I see God coming through. You see, God uses imperfect people to father us perfectly. Amen. Sometimes my son, I shared it last week, he takes his hands and he puts it on my face like this. And then he says, "Papa." And when he does that, I am fathered by God. The acceptance of God reaches me through a 2-year-old. You see, sonship is about the heart. It's not about being at a place where there's a lot of people that's great. That's also great. It's about the heart. Amen? And so today I want to move and I want to talk about fatherhood, which is quite a weird thing for us to talk about because we are a young bunch, but you'll understand where I'm coming from. You know, one of my friends, I want to tell you a few things that happened in church. Isn't Alicia here? I think she's in the back. She'll hear me. She's in one of my stories, not her, but the situation. But one of my friends I took to church, first time ever went to a church, took him to Stellenbosch. That night, gave his heart to the Lord. Amazing moment in front of the church. Went back to his bucky, and someone broke in on the church grounds. Stole everything in his car. Church can be messy. Oh, the other day we had someone stole. Whose wallet was stolen? Chris' wallet, 3,000 rand out of ATM. These things happen where you get people. We had a situation a few years ago where, now moms will understand this, and dads, the rest of you won't. But we had a lovely lady, she's the leader in our church, spanking someone else's child at church. because they had their hand in the chocolate cake. Okay. Now, let me tell you, if you're single, you think it's funny, but if you're a parent, that's not nice. Wat gaan jy doen? Ach, moeilijkheid wees, nee. These things did not happen out there. It happens in church. It's interesting. Church can be a crazy place. I feel at home. When I tell those stories, I feel at home because I recognize the sin in my own heart and I know I just fit in. And then I wonder, how is Christ so committed to the church? And I'll give you the key, because this has got to do with being a father. He sees what she is becoming. And he's busy with his hands on her, cleaning her. The wounds. Someone broke into her back, he stole everything. It's a wound. God comes, cleanses it. He says, I want to make you pretty. Right now, not looking great, but I'm committed to you. Jy is beautiful. This is a metaphor. Okay. Okay. En jy gee great drukkies. Okay. Oh, we don't know what marriage is. Let me just go off on a tangent. David Paulson, who knows who he is. Old woman. He's in his 80s already, right? Now, those guys knows what marriage is. Speaks about his friend. His wife ran away with another man and then became another man. Became another man until she was on a deathbed with AIDS. And he was the one that was there. First husband. Next to the bed. And his friends came and said, what are you doing here? This woman feels nothing for you. Go home. You should not care for her. And this man turns to the other one. He says, you don't talk like that about my wife. It's my wife. That's the church. That's God. Stays committed. Funny thing about us is we're not like God. Let me show you what Scripture says. 1 Corinthians 4. For though you have countless guides, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ. What is the difference between a guide and a father? What is the difference between someone teaching like Rohandi an extra class and someone that's a mother? Listen, I'm using the word father. You can't put mother in there. It's not gender specific. God is a father, but when it comes to the fathering, the act of loving, caring, it's not gender specific. All right? Are you with me? The difference between Rohandi and a mom of a child is the mom will always be with that child through the years. Rohandi takes a child for a lesson in the home. There's many of those in church. Wants to take someone for a lesson. But not many that will father. Because fathering involves tears. This child of mine is still doing it, but I can't go away. He's my child. That's how God feels about the church. Now the dilemma is he wants fathers in the church that can help clean up the church and prepare her for Christ that's coming back. We're talking about becoming a father in the faith. Are you with me tonight, everyone? Listen, this is foundational. God is doing very specific work with us at this moment. Even though it's shutdown, God is saying we're also having shutdown. He's climbing in here and working on the foundations a bit. Check this out. I'm writing to you, little children, 1 John, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And then I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. He repeats it again. If you want to go read on by yourself. It starts with children again and goes through. A child in the faith is someone that has met God. He's been washed. What has a child done? Nothing. Just like a newborn baby. Jy doen niks, jy word gewas. Same with you. When you come to Christ, maybe you think you're doing a whole lot, saying, God, change my life. He's doing everything. It's washing you. Taking your dirty robe, putting on a clean robe. That's all you have to do is just be a baby. You just need to be there. And then you become a young man. You're growing up in the faith. And a lot of you guys are entering that stage. Now the thing is for you not to stay there, but to become a father. But there's one thing you must understand for God to prepare you to be a father. And that is that you will have to overcome many temptations from the evil one. It's a difference between knowing God, knowing scripture, and becoming a father, is that you overcome. Doesn't matter what come your way, you overcome. At the end, you don't talk like that. She's my wife. Many battles to overcome. Many. And tonight, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you three things that you'll have to overcome on your journey to becoming a father. Now, what do I mean by father? Please, I don't want you to go and make someone pregnant, all right? Okay? That's not what I'm saying. Anu apar maande, okay? Then you can reproduce if you want to. It's biblical. Hendrik apar weke. Now, when we say a spiritual father, we don't mean a guru wat op 'n stoeltjie sit en al die antwoorde het. It's merely someone who's been around a specific situation or life has thrown stuff his way that he's been around that block and he's willing to take your hand and usher you around that same place. All right? Even if his situation was not exactly the same, it's just someone that's willing to get into your hand and says, I'll walk with you. All of you are meant to be fathers in the faith. It's got nothing to do with age. You can do it when you're very young. You can be 23 and God can use you to father. All right? Obviously, as we literally grow older, and it's in a funny way, I'm excited about that. To also, in a physical way, grow older, because you know what? Life teaches us a lot. Isn't that true? We're not taking away from that. Let me tell you what, some of you guys have parents that's a well of wisdom. Because they've done life, all right? And so both is important. We want God to grow us spiritually and in life to be with us and coach us through it so that we can be there for others. There's not many fathers, is what scripture says. Are you ready for the first one? You're going to face this, I promise you. The first one is, you're going to have to grow through offenses. Okay? Vir die Afrikaanse mense, asseblief iemand help my om aanstoot te neem. Okay? This is, and I'll tell you what, there'll be times when God will ordain this because he wants you to write that exam. But you will not grow to fatherhood without passing through this. Each one of these points we're getting to tonight, let me tell you what, each one of those comes to you very personally. And each one, the enemy opens a door for you to walk away from fellowship. Walk away from the people of God. We see many people falling away from the faith. Every month, not every year, every month. And a lot of it has got to do with these three things. And every one of them, scripture warns us about. Bearing with one another. And if one is a complaint against another, forgiving each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, you must also forgive. Why is it in scripture? Because God knows. As you go to the altar, as you are ready to go and worship, and you remember you've got something against your brother, scripture says, quickly sort it out. Why? Because God knows. This is part of your journey. Many will make it through it, many won't. I pray everyone here will. Amen. Let me give you one or two examples. Well, firstly, my very first day at the office. I was 25 years old and I was appointed as a pastor. I don't know what the church thought at that time appointing me. If I think back on the stuff I preach, I thought, God, thanks for just protecting the people in the faith. And they have grace on me and everyone around me. But we all survived, I think. First thing, Tiens told me, is Varys and die bediening kort jy 'n dik vel. Help me. You need to be thick skin. They use it. You need a thick skin. Okay. And I didn't know what he meant because for me, everything was la-di-da. Everything is just great in the ministry. 25 years old, the world is perfect. And I've come to realize now, 7 years later, this is the moment, the conversation I remember more clearly than anyone else. Let me give you one or two examples what might come your way in the ministry. Some of you will remember this from when Carl was here a while back. You won't mind me sharing this. Friends calls him in. It's a friend of mine in church. He says, I want to talk with you. Now, let me tell you what. If someone says something about you, that's okay. You can handle it. But when someone criticizes your wife or your kids, it's very difficult. And so his friends, the leaders of the church, calls him in and says, basically what they're saying is, your son, physically, he stinks. You need to bathe him more and put the deodorant on his body. How does that make one feel? Dave. I mean, it's funny, we joke with one another until people sit you down. They're not joking. They say, there's a problem with your son. He runs around church and he stinks. If that doesn't create an opportunity for offense, I don't know what does. He tells me, no one loves him more than those people. They care for him. And so they sorted out the situation. Grew through it. If that happens, I think to a young mom and dad, we'll never see them again in this church. Imagine that. You can't if you don't have kids. You'll face circumstances like that on the way to your growth, to becoming a father. And you're going to need a thick skin. Amen? The first temptation when something like that happens, just putting some flesh on it, is you'll start to murmur. And then you know you're on your way losing it. Can you believe what that person told me? That's number one, right? And from there, you fall out of fellowship and then you fall out of the faith. If Satan can have his way. But he's not going to. Amen? Remember last week we spoke about the orphan spirit. You can read about that in Romans 8. It says God has not given us a spirit of an orphan. He's giving us a spirit of sonship. And so we become a part of his family. And then what do we say? We say, Abba, Father, brings us in. And so what does the Holy Spirit does? We spoke about it last week. Is he eliminates distance. Jesus eliminates distance between people. He reconciles. What the orphan spirit does is, in that moment of offense, someone comes with a correction. Listen, can I give you another example, ladies? And I'm so glad if I look, it's still cold enough. We don't have to have this conversation for real. But let's say it's summer and you dress in a way that's inappropriate for a worship service. And there is a way that's inappropriate. Okay? And someone comes to you and say, I want you to quickly go home and go put a coat on. Okay. Now that is an opportunity for offense, ladies. So what an orphan spirit does is create distance. I'm not coming back. You encounter a similar situation, you create more distance. And when you find yourself, you are isolated. Now the great thing, and God does it this way, there's times when the one that offends you will be wrong. And you're going to have to grow through that as well. They might have it completely wrong. Here's the thing. God is putting before you an exam and he wants you to do well. When the enemy wants to move you away, you say, I will not let distance come between me and God's people. Holy Spirit, help me. He brings you back into the family. And you say, Abba, Father, here we are face to face. Are you ready? To grow to be a father, you will deal with this. I see, I think it's personal, but I'm talking about myself. A lot of people come to church and they just love church. But they make one mistake. This is a great church, by the way. I think realness is what's very important. And I think we got that down. Okay. But here's a mistake they make. They think I'm perfect. And as they get to know me, the pastor, they realize I've got feet of clay. And for a moment I become an offense. I'm not perfect. God uses it in that way as well. No pastor is. No small group leader is. You will face some trials in this regard. But Christ eliminates distance. Can I give you an example? The man that would betray him just in a short time stoops down and washes his feet. I will not be removed from this man. And I will not only be close, I will wash his feet. He always eliminates distance. Peter goes, denies him 3 times publicly. Christ gets up. I think he couldn't wait to get back to Peter. Gets in his face. He says, I restore you. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Let's restore this. It's what he does. Has a friend of yours denied you? Eliminate the distance. Face to face. That's how you grow through this. Don't be orphaned. It's not God at work. I just want to say, listen, I'm not... Sometimes you have to say this in the world we're living in. I'm not saying, for example, if you are living with a man that's physically abusing you, you must eliminate this and allow him to continue. It's not what I'm saying. Just, are you with me, guys? Okay. Within all common sense, I'm talking about relational things here. There's times when you need to go and see someone for your own safety. And if you talk with people out there, because you guys are going out here to shine a light, you talk to a lot of people. Okay. There's different ways to handle that. You can still eliminate those distances through forgiveness and physically not get yourself in the position to be hurt. So I just want to say that. Now, the reason God puts you through this test, you might ask, why is this so painful? This is one of the greatest tests for young believers. Can you see why God wants fathers to take them by the hand? You're going to make this vessel. I know he said that. But you're going to make him. Right now, what you and I are going to do is you're going to forgive him. And you're going to stay connected. I'm not going to create distance. He needs fathers. He needs to train you so that you can be a father to someone else. Amen? Be ready. It's coming. Everyone with me? Great. Oh, this is the old man, sir. Number 2. I only have 3 points. It's going to be a record time. Grow in accountability and discipline. Listen, we've spoken about this. I don't know which word to put there. Choose one, please. I'm just going to read fast. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? It's a family vibe again. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Do not be weary when reproved by him or corrected. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves. He chastises every son whom he receives. Now listen, that's a hard scripture. Just look at verse number 6. Okay. Now I'm going to pray a prayer. I'll really pray it as well, but for this exercise, what I want you to do is to see the implications. Lord, I just want to receive your love. I want to experience your love, all of it. I want to know you in your love. You want to know his discipline. Can you see how it cannot be disconnected? Everyone, can you see that? We're going on next verse. For it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Faithful. That is another verse we had on here for a while out of Proverbs. We had it up here a few times in the past. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse the kisses of an enemy. What I found is believers, young believers, that can be disciplined by God. It often uses your peers, your friends, your pastor, your leaders. Those who can receive that kind of correction grow at a remarkable rate. If you want to grow really, really fast, position yourself for this. It's going to be fast, but it's going to be tough. I'll explain to you why. this place, let's just call it the table of feedback, where God is allowed to minister into your life and use other people to do so. It is one of the hardest places to sit down, because it's not great to hear things about yourself that's not so cool. But if it comes through the heart of God, it's the very thing that stimulates your growth to become a father. And I told the story last week. Just forgive me if you were here. I'm just going to share it again. Last year, in November, I asked 5 people to give me feedback on a specific area of my life, and it was brutal to hear people you love, I know they love me, say things about you that if it would just land on you, it's not kind to hear, but I did ask for it. I've never grown as fast as last year, November, December, January. Never. I took it to heart. It was difficult. I told my wife, I said, I must work on these things. Wie het gesê? Wie het gesê? That's why I don't ask her, okay? You're perfect. I go to her afterwards to feel a bit better again. But here's the thing, if you cannot be facilitated into a process about your weaknesses with people, you won't do it with God when you're alone. I promise you that. You are closed. How are you doing? Why is this so important? Why are we hammering this? Let me tell you what. You want to be a father. It's the whole purpose of tonight. You want to care and you want to instruct, help, correct, help a young believer onto the right road. Well, can it be done unto you? Otherwise, you are a hypocrite. I can tell you, but none can tell me. Which makes of you an arrogant father, and you will walk this life, and you will turn around, and there will be no sons. There will be no one following. People don't follow fathers like that. Be low. Be willing to receive even from those under you. Something I try and practice in my life. It takes humility to land this feedback. It takes humility to correct someone else and have them feel loved and come back for more. Amen? This is a test, guys. Let the discipline of God, which is love, and the feedback from friends grind you and shape you into fatherhood. Make sense? Makes sense to me. That's what matters. I'm the one preaching. Last one. Toughest of them all. I don't have all the answers. Okay? But I get there's a handle here for us to hold on to. The third thing that will happen in your life is that there will be times of tribulation and testing. In this world, until He comes back, we will have it. There's no way to escape it, and we try to. We run from this as fast as we can, as far as we can. I've heard, and I agree with it, it's often better to run towards people that is experiencing suffering, because God will train you and you'll be ready when it's your turn. This will happen. It's a hot evening at church. Still, let me tell you what, we're talking about the real stuff. We're talking about the stuff spiritual foundations are made of. All right? And we said it last week. I don't desire 400 or 500 people in this church jumping up and down, shouting hallelujah. I want real fathers. Once we raise them up, people will come to sit under the shade. This will be a part of it. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows. How is that grace? I don't know. Lord, be gracious to me. Can you follow that prayer? It's like, oh, Lord, where's your thoughts? What are you doing with us? It's training us. Because there will be a day when when all pain will be removed and the training is done. That day is not now, it's when He returns. So He saves us now from the power of sin. When He comes, He saves us from the presence of sin. You are broken down, you are weary. He gives you strength to overcome. When He comes back, there will be no weariness. There will be no sorrow. We only have one opportunity. I know a friend who, this can happen through life, and this can happen through people. I have a friend who shared something very confidential with the church, not this church, but a church. And this was supposed to be very confidential because it's something that is a very shameful situation. And the one person spoke to the wrong person and everyone knew, the whole church, what happened in this person's life. Broke her down to pieces. That's suffering at the hands of people, not just people, the church. Happens. I hate it when that happens, but it happens. Are you ready to endure through it and become a father? One day you'll say, and walk away from God and His people. You can do it. He's training you. I've got a friend. His name is Herman. He's a great, great friend. Little son, David. He got born without a heartbeat. Why do these things happen? This world is blended with sin and brokenness. Heartbreak. Naval cord just tied. It wasn't around his neck. It just tied. And as the little baby was playing in the womb, it made a knot. And so you could see when the baby came out, you could see red, 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 not white. No food. Why does it happen? He's a believer. These people are believers. They love God. They worship Him. Here's the thing. They continued to worship Him. They've got two beautiful daughters now. Grow through suffering. That man is a father, I'm telling you. On this road of maturing, there will be times when God, and He allows this. He allows these things, guys. And it just strips away the crutches from you until you only have one thing left. Jesus. Nothing else. No other crutch. He does this. He's developing fathers. 2 Timothy 1:8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share in the sufferings. Hoekom gaan my wekker af opstaan? Hou hierdie ding vir veiligheid. But share in the suffering for the gospel. Let me tell you something. Just something about Christian suffering. We must be there for one another. It's meant to be shared. It's meant to be shared. But I also want to say, and I almost want to say this strongly to help you, is when you go through something heartbreaking, and no one knows, and you are silent about it, you're not helping yourself. You go and you find a neck to fall on. You're going to fall into God's arms, but you go and find someone in the church, in your small group. You go and pray. You tell them what you are going through, because they might not know, and you will feel alone. It's meant to be shared. And those moments of sharing are the sweetest. That's when real friends are being born. God is developing fathers. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. There it is. Who comforts us all in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Here's the thing. If you've been through a affliction, you can comfort someone through any affliction. You've been through heartbreak. You've been there. And you survived. God is training a father. Someone who cares. Amen? Are you ready to be a father? For as we share, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 5, for as we share abundantly, there's that word, share in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. One day when He comes, we will be eternally comforted. But the only place you will experience a comfort so close to what you will experience in heaven one day is in suffering. The sweetest comfort you will find there when God's people are standing around you, holding up your hands. He grows us through this. One day you have to be comforted. One day you have to comfort. This is where stuff gets real. It is for your comfort which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. You guys can stand up tonight. Tonight we're going for the meat, guys. Vanaand speel ons hier. We're going for the steaks. Can we go to the next slide? Write it on your heart. Remember it in your spirit. You will be trained in each of these ways. And I'm sure there's more. These are the ones that came up to me that I think God wants us to chew on right now. I think if He gave us everything, it'll maybe just be too much. For now, if you can digest this and pray through this, the first thing you do tonight, you can do it even right here at church or after church, is you phone someone in this church that you trust, and you tell them, if they're not here, about this, and you tell them you are serious. But you tell them you cannot do this alone. You want them to be your sponsor, to be with you. Make sure that when the test comes, that you pass it. What do we want in this church? What was Paul's desire for the Corinthian church? You have many guides. You don't have many fathers. The scars of our hearts is often the thing that trains us for the real deal. It's interesting. I just want to share this. The very first conference we had in Cape Town, we had a man there, what's his name? The guy that wrote Open the Eyes of My Heart. Older guy, Brian Dirksen, wrote the song Open the Eyes of My Heart. And there was another band that also played at Convergence. Very skillful young lads jumping up and down on the stage, singing for Jesus and doing stuff. And then Brian, I think he was 55, 56 at that time, would come. There's no show, there's no jumping. He would take his guitar and he'd start to play and you'd experience the Holy Spirit. Why? As a father of two children, that's physically a gestrem. And here's the thing, I think he adopted them. He's been through life. Man's a father. You can't fake that. And so when he ministers, when he takes his guitar and his hand falls on the strings and he starts to sing, you experience God's fathering you. Again, that's a funny stage off. Now it's happening. God wants fathers. So it takes us through life. And we learn it through our family, through friends, great highs, great lows. We get to comfort one another and He grow us. Are you ready? Let's close our eyes for a moment. Father, You are here. fathering this young church, fathering us corporately and fathering us one-on-one, guiding us with your eyes, but you father us completely, which includes you celebrating us, you correcting us, you allowing us just to go through something to teach us to obey your voice and trust you. So good. I pray for every person here not to stay young men in the faith or young women, but to grow to be a great father. Knows how to comfort. Knows how to care. Knows how to be close to those who are hurting. I want to do something while every eye is closed and just obey God also in this word. If you are going through any of these things that's hurting you at the moment in your heart and you'd want God to comfort you, I want you just to put your hand up very high. So that's me. Thank you for those hands. Don't be shy. Trust Him. He's going to do something. Thank you for those hands. Put your hands up very high. Very high. Keep it there. I want some facilitators just to go and put your hand on someone's shoulder. You're not going to pray for them or anything. I just want you just to lower your hand. Just representing the hand of the Father. Now, as your eyes are closed, I want you to experience how near He is. He's with you, comforting you, guiding you through whichever deep offense or suffering you're going through. He says it's by His grace and His kindness that He takes us to these things and then through it to grow us. And just as someone, just at this moment, is just touching your physical body, know He's even closer. He's on the inside, keeping you upright. Father, I want to thank you for every person here that's at this moment going through a very difficult time. You show them your comfort, which is so much deeper than the touch of man. You do a mighty work. We desire to know you fully, Lord. We desire to grow in the faith up to such a place, Lord, that we can shepherd this world, Lord. Thank you for training us and not leaving us to our own devices. You are with us, so near. Amen.